Rabbi says, "Simon Tovkuf Nun Aleph Siv Dalet Leachatainas." After the fast day, we're bottom line. Leachatainas Mutar Lesaper Lechabiz Miad. That's actually a very big chiddush. We are quite familiar with it because we are off on holidays normally that day. But on the day after the Tanis, I mean Simon Tovkuf Nun Aleph, and I mean Seif Dalet. After the Tanis, immediately after the completion of the Tanis, you're allowed to Lesaper to have haircuts or Lechabiz to do washing Miad immediately. Why is this a chiddush? I think it's a very grand chiddush. I would have probably thought Isuchag. We don't do Isuchag for the Rabbanon generally. Mishenichnas of Mematin Besimcha. Why Mematin Besimcha? We decrease Simcha. Until when? Now, until it's a month of Puranos. It's a month. So why is it that straight away, as soon as the Tanis is over, whoops, off you go. Do your washing. Furthermore, when did the Beis HaMikdash actually burn? When were the flames? When was it? On the 10th. The Gemara says that on the 10th, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the 10th. So Gemara asks the question, well, why did we fast on the 9th? Surely we should fast on the 10th. The Gemara says, because Chilta Puranos Adifa, we go according to the beginning. All right, but on 10th is not a great day to celebrate on the 10th. So it's definitely a very big chiddush that we're learning now that Lecha Tainitz after the fast you're allowed to do washing and haircuts immediately. Point number two. But that's Taloch, Rabbi Sam. Veim Chal Tisha B'Av B'Yom Rishon, if Tisha B'Av falls on Sunday, such as this year, I believe, right? Tisha B'Av is on Sunday?
Yeah.
Oy B'Shabbos, V'Nitchel Lecha Shabbos, or if Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos and he pushed off to Sunday, that was also fairly recently. When was that? Was it last year? Tisha B'Av pushed off to Sunday. Pushed off, actually being on Shabbos, pushed off to. When was it? This year? Last year? So, whether it's the Sunday being genuinely Tisha B'Av or Sunday being the pushed off Tisha B'Av, Mutar B'Shei Shabbosos, both Shabbosos do not have any restrictions. Of Shua Shechalboi. Ben Shkoidim Atanis Ben Sheachov. In other words, if Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos or Sunday, there is no Shua Shechalboi. Shua Shechalboi, pardon?
You're in the clear if you're
surviving. No 9 days in that scenario. Some are evolved. No. If you've got a Tisha B'Av on Sunday, you've got a whole previous week ready, Shua Shechalboi. Chutz Meyim Chamish, which is excluding Friday and Thursday, because those days you're allowed to prepare for covered Shabbos, for the forthcoming Shabbos. For Noegin Lahachmir, we tend to be Machmir, says the Ramon, Metchilas or Shchodesh Lin Kibbos. We anyway, for us, says the Ramon, Shvosh Chalbo is not really relevant, because washing is anyway already forbidden from Shchodesh, and I will display this Noegin Lahachmir with Shivos Abitamba. Anyway, haircuts, we forbid already on the 7th from Shivos Abitamba. So really, this is not so relevant for the Ramon. When is Shvosh Chalbo? It doesn't make so much of a huge impact and difference because we, anyway, haircuts are also from Shavuos Abetamos. Washing from Rosh Chodesh. So Shavuos Chalbo doesn't really make so much of a difference according to the Ramo.
If you just have the Mechaba, and just pass them straight out to Shavuos
Abetamos, there's
no concept of 9 days, really. It's all Shavuos
isn't it? There is a concept of 9 days because he does start off saying from Rosh Chodesh onwards you have Mishenich Nasov Matan Besimcha with the gods of going to court. Yeah, correct. This is correct. Yeah. Continues the Shulchan Aruch in Seif. Hey, also Levrius, a Jewish lady who washes laundry and clothing, Lechabes, big day of it, Kirchovim to do for non Jews, for Gentiles, washing for Gentiles. But she was there. That is forbidden.
What is that,
a panasa? That is a
panasa,
yeah. How is she
supposed to make
a panasa? How is she made? So you're quite right. The Mishnah points out at the end of Sif Kot Mem Beis that be'ein lo malecho, if she's got nothing to eat, vada k'dei chayav shorei kuponim, allowed to do the work that is makes you. But if you've got to live off, right? Okay, so you know. It's going to be a bit tough some panosas are a bit restricted in some
times.
You know, the caterers manage, you have to manage during the weeks that there's no chasnas. The dry cleaners, well, that's in line with this. That's pretty much as a locha. They've got a, spoke to a dry cleaner, Taka last year, Jewish dry cleaner. He's got a dry cleaning company, and So it's a bit tough, right? Okay, so it's got over the makeup before Yom Tov, whatever. So it's a bit tough that he does his business decisions accordingly, and he's got employees, less staff, and everything, whatever. But it's got to be taken into consideration. These are long days that you'll have to do. Yeah, so we learned yesterday that so what we're referring to is that for a loss, what was the loss that you're referring to? Mamartim Masamartin Siv based. Therefore, financial loss, you're allowed to do business, regular business. That's correct. But this is regards to the regular Issa of Mamartim Masamartin. There, if somebody has a huge hefset gadol, you're allowed to do regular business engagements. However, this is a specific also of kibbutz. Kibbutz is more stringent. Right, she's doing it for panasa, but nevertheless, it's restricted. But there's another halacha here, which is interesting, which is the question that, one second here, maybe that's what you're referring to, actually. Well, there's another question, one second. Washing is also, because you're going to end up wearing it. What's really the problem of washing for somebody else, for a goy? What's the problem? Maris Ein says the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkot Mem Beis. Bigly Chabes Bigdan, you're quite right. Avol Gav De Medina Shor, in principle, should be permitted. Shari Ein is the kibbutz mishum is the melocha. Elok de lemat besimcha v'laris avelus. V'holo shach b'kibbutz b'dinochim. Hafilochi also mipnei Maris Ein. It is a Maris Ein Issa. You may not wash because it appears as if you're doing it for yourself. If you're doing Gentiles' clothing, it will appear that now comes a massive chiddush. However, if the clothing of the Gentiles is slightly different, the nika, it's recognizable. You can be lenient. If the garments of the Jews are different than the clothing of the clothing of the Gentiles, then it's okay because all is my sign. It's not my sign if it's recognizable that the Jews wear different clothing. Fascinating halacha. Right. Good question. Good question. Good question. If you're going to, you're right. Good question. It's a very fair question. That it's a really bad question. So the way I picture it with the, baskets of washing and kind of big containers of washing to go down to the river. So it's different than we are picturing. You go to a dry cleaners, obviously it's business. But if you're looking at that, so how can people tell? That is, whether it's doing it for business or doing it for yourself. However, if it's recognizable, it's go as your clothing, it's fine. Which, of course, teaches something about what? Go as your clothing! Go as your clothing. So if you buy your clothes, so it just teaches us that, it's just, I think it's very interesting about clothing, Jews wearing different clothing and going. So I think it's very. Yeah, so here he learns that it's a kibbutz is not. It's a good question. Here he learns that kibbutz, the doing of kibbutz, is that's what he says over here. Kidelemad besimcha v'leharos avelus. I know that previously we've learned that it's has chadas avelus. It sounds like there's both of them. Yeah, yeah. Zabai said it's interesting. Now there's a question as well. So that if you wear different clothing, if it's recognizable that it's good, your clothing is permitted. Very interesting.
So you could
wash dalach. Yeah, nowadays. But if you've got clothing which is, I don't know if there is such a thing nowadays. I don't know if there's such a thing which is specifically clearly good, your clothing. I don't know if.
Galax,
pardon? Blue shirt. Yeah. Yeah, all right, so it's a shayla. I don't know, it's interesting. It's very interesting, very, very interesting. Yes. Yes, Stephen, we are with you. Are you with us? We are with you. Yeah, but it helps to unmute.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, very much so. Yeah.
So all you need to do is check if they've got a shatness label in the clothes. Uh-huh. If they haven't, you can assume it's a goy's clothes.
Sure. Yeah, is that, yeah, so you're saying that it would help Marisa Ein if there's no sharpness clothes. Well, the thing is, it's probably not bulletproof because there are various items which do not need to be sharpness tested, and that doesn't necessarily mean that it's kosher clothing.
Okay.
Yeah? Okay, Steve, hey, so that's that. Good. So Aruch Shulchan wants to say, very good. Aruch Shulchan says that if you go a shop, it's your business and it's recognizable, everybody knows that you're doing it for business. It's evident that you're doing it for business. According to that, it should be. It's business. Yeah. So the Aruch Shulchan wants to say it's fine as well in such an instance. If it's recognizable, it's known, it's then it's going to be fine as well. So in other words, if somebody has a dry cleaner, based on what we're seeing now,
they don't have to close.
Pardon? So then they don't have to close. Perhaps it's so to make
them. From...
Perhaps, yeah. But if you do have a dry, it could be. I mean, Lemaisa, I know that. Yeah, it would sound like, you know, what do you say? If you've got a dry cleaner, but by the way, it's a very good business. Anybody wants to open a new business, you check out if there's like within the surroundings. It's very easy. Apparently, that's what they say. I mean, I don't know, I'm not taking responsibility, but apparently if there's a vicinity of a couple of square miles, there's no dry cleaner, apparently it's a very, very easy, straightforward, it's a very great financial, very profitable apparently. So if you're looking for second business, perhaps don't start in the 9 days, but apparently it's a very, very, it's very, he said, it's very profitable, but there's very little expenses. So it could be that dry cleaning would therefore be permitted if it's evident that you're doing it for Gentiles. See, Vav, our boys say we're moving on. See, Vav, kelim chadoshim, new clothing. Kelim means over here clothing. Our boys say it's a common misconception. Kelim in the Loshna HaMishnah normally means clothing, and here too, kelim means clothing, and not equipment, tools. Kelim chadoshim, new clothing. Bein levonim, whether it's white. Bein tzivonim, whether it's colorful. Bein shel tzema, whether it's made out of wool. Bein shel pishna, whether it's made out of linen. Also, lilboish b'shabbos. There you know how to wear on this Shabbos. So the Shabbos prior to Tisha B'Av, do not wear new clothing. It's anyway not relevant because we don't wear new clothing already from Rosh Chodesh. However, it must be pointed out that buying new clothes is more lenient than washing clothes. Consequently, if a person needs to have he's run out of shirts. He's run out of shirts, and we are here, you know, a couple of days into the night, he's run out of shirts. So if he's got a choice whether he should wash his shirt, and because he's run out of shirts, or he should buy a new shirt, it is more lenient.
That doesn't make sense. It gives you more sense to have a new shirt.
New shirt. Yeah. Hes chadas avelus. Absolutely correct.
But you've got to go and get
it. So yeah, no, but shopping, yeah, shopping for some of us is
that takes longer than putting it in the machine.
Yeah. Right. Who knows what a shop is? Has anybody seen a shop from the inside? Has anybody seen a shop from the inside for my clothing? No more shops. Yeah. So the shaila is because of Hezekodas Avelius, it is considered more lenient to purchase than to wash. So. Very good question. What about Shechionu? I chose a garment which you don't say Shechionu anyway, because shirts are considered cheaper items which don't warrant a Shechionu. If you were to make a Shechionu, if you were talking about a suit or something, it would be a problem. So you cannot make Shechionu, and that would be discussion in its own right. Okay, Rabbi Sai, I'm leaving the mic for our very choshev speaker.
The 11th
is the applause.
Well, I'm on Zoom. Here, not at home. So I wanted to say, firstly, a short parsha in a nutshell, because sometimes when you read the vort, you forget. You get so much into the vort and you forget about the rest of the sedra. So just basically, we know that this week's sedra, we deal with the korbanos. So Hashem calls to Moshe from Noah Merid. And he's misavras through Moshe in the Korbanos. So just, you know, it's just basically that's the Sedra of the Korbanos. So the, we have firstly we have the Korban Ola, the Korban Mincha, the Korban Shlamim, Korban Chatas, and the Korban Asham. Right, so it's the Korbanos we have in this week's Sedra. So interesting, saw a really interesting vort in Rav Moshe Weinberger, really great sofa. He talks about the Korban Mincha really negated to Pesach as well. So he said in the Pasuk, we have Korban Mincha, Asher Tikrivu LaHashem. So I don't know what all the minchas means, which we sacrifice to Hashem, but that's what it says. Korban Mincha, Asher Tikrivu LaHashem. Lasa, so chametz. We don't make it with chametz, right? You can't bring the mincha with chametz in it. Ki kol sa'ar v'chol davash lo tzaktiru memene isha LaHashem. Because we don't bring chametz or honey in this offering to Hashem. So he says, basically, Rav Moshe Weinberg, he says, we understand chametz, that it shouldn't be in the Korban Mincha every day, because chametz, we know, is chametz represents haughtiness, so even not just Pesach, even the whole year round, we have this idea that chametz represents haughtiness. So it shouldn't be in the Korban. But what about, and you say, you know, the Sefer Chinuch says that it represents the haughtiness, and the Maharal says, oh, and the opposite of that is on Pesach we have the matzah, which represents the simpleness, and you know, when we come to Hashem, we have to come to Hashem with a simplicity. We don't come with, you know, with gaiva. So that explains the lack of chametz in the Korban Mincha. But what about the honey? It says it shouldn't have honey in the Korban Mincha. What's the deal with that? It should, you know, honey makes it sweeter. It should be a nice thing to bring to Hashem. It tastes nice. It can smell nice. What's the issue with the honey? So he says, the Sefer Chinuch says that this is a lesson to us, or to people who seek sweetness in. Let's say in physicality, they're always looking for a sweetness in, you know, whether it's they're looking for the nicest foods, or like they're always looking for something which makes them feel good, right, physically. But also, he says that also a lesson for us in ruchnis as well. That when we come to do mitzvahs, serving Hashem, it's not all about what makes us feel good. It's sometimes there's mitzvahs which are difficult, and this is what Hashem asked for us to do now. It's not, I don't have a choice now whether to, you know, now I have to do this mitzvah. It's very nice to daven, daven a long mincha, but right now my wife needs me home. Or, you know, it's very nice to, there's certain things that I have to do right now, and as much as it's not the thing I want to do right now, that's what Hashem wants of me. So Rav Chaim, the Mesilas Yisham says that the true, these are his words, he says, the true purpose of our lives is found amongst those pious people who work and toil to fulfill Hashem's will, who serve Hashem only for the sake of increasing His covered in the world. It's not necessarily for me to feel very spiritual, although that is obviously is a great thing to feel very connected to Hashem, but rather it's more that to fulfill what Hashem wants us to do right now, and that is the greatest, our greatest purpose. There's a story in the, I didn't know this, but there's a story in about the Navi Yechezkel. Hashem commanded him to eat a scroll which contained a description of the destruction of the Jewish people. I don't know if that was a fulfilled prophecy or not, but it's fulfilled with lamentation, suffering, and weeping. Yechezkel did as Hashem commanded him, which was and he ate the scroll. Suffering is generally considered something we consider bitter, but Yechezkel said, and in my mouth it was sweet like honey, this thing that he ate. Even the bitter and difficult decrees of Hashem can be sweet with the recognition that they are the word and will of Hashem. So he goes on now to explain that, what about Pesach? Pesach, it's not easy. You know, you're cleaning, you're sweating over the cleaning. But he says there's nothing. Moshe Weinberg, he says there's nothing sweeter than cleaning for Pesach in order to live according to the truth, because it is true. There is no greater lesson for our children than when a child asks his parents, "Why are you working so hard? What are you doing right now? Why are you, you know, why are you cleaning? You know, getting under cupboards and trying to find every speck of chametz." Then you can tell them, because the Torah tells us we should do this. That is the greatest lesson for our children. We are doing this because Hashem tells us that He wants us to do this, not because it ticks a certain box for us, but because Hashem says we should do it. At the Seder, we say, so what does Ma'ar Chacham Omer, what does the wise son say? What are these testimonies, decrees, and ordinances that Hashem our God has commanded you? You should then teach him the halachas, the laws of Pesach. Chacham knows that the greatest sweetness is found in Shulchan Aruch. It's through the our keeping of Shulchan Aruch when one connects to Hashem, because that is the truth. When we recognize the sweetness in things because of the simple fact that they come from Hashem, we will see the sweetness even in hard work or suffering. He then says, but you don't. Okay, we get sweetness through this bitterness, this hard work. We don't look for bitterness. We don't ask for it. So there's a story about the Kotzker Rebbe at his Seder. One year it appeared as if he was going to skip over Maror and go straight to the meal. He was going to just leave out Maror. The Hasidim at the table signaled to the Avni Nezer, who apparently was the Kotzker's son-in-law, to say something. You should say something to your father-in-law. So the Avni Nezer approached his father-in-law and said, "Maror, you're not doing Maror?" The Kotzker then slammed his fist on the table and yelled, "Maror fressers, Maror snackers," over and over again. The Hasidim became frightened, and all of them ran out except for the Avni Nezer. When the Kotzker stopped yelling, he explained that there is enough suffering and bitterness in the world that we do not need to ask for it. We don't need to ask for the bitterness. If it happens, then you grow through it, but you don't ask for the bitterness. He did not forget about Maror, but he was trying to tell them that they shouldn't be asking for bitterness. Why are you asking for Maror? So that was it.
That's good.